People believe weird things. What are weird things? Weird things are like pornography, difficult to define in words, but obvious when you see them. One person's weird thing is another's cherished belief. Now, some of the things I'm going to talk about today, I know from previous conversations, disagree with some of the attitudes and beliefs that some of you may have. Secondly, I'm going to talk an awful lot about reason, and I don't want you to think that I only see life in reasonable ways. I have a great deal of my life is related to beauty, and I know that beauty cannot be interpreted only with the mind, that it takes a combination of the mind, the emotions, and our souls. So there's more to life than reason, but I think reason is particularly important when dealing with believing in weird things. What is weird? It's a claim that's unaccepted by most people in a particular field. A claim that's logically impossible or unlikely. A claim that evidence is largely anecdotal and uncollaborated. One way of distinguishing fact from belief is science, both scientific method and evidence. Some examples of weird beliefs. Psychic predictors. UFO sightings, alien abductions, immortality, creationism, Holocaust denial, cosmologists who believe science proves there is a God, dowsing, Bermuda Triangle, poltergeists, biorhythms, levitation, psychokinesis, ghosts, auras, monsters, graphology, clairvoyance, mediums, pyramid power, faith healing, Bigfoot, and haunted houses. It's not limited to a few people. Gallup poll in 1996, a survey of 2,000 people, indicated the following percentages of belief in the paranormal. 56% believe in astrology, 46% in extrasensory perception, 19% in witches, 22% that aliens have landed on Earth, 33% on the last lost continent of Atlantis, 65% in Noah's flood, 42% with communication with the dead, and 35% believing in ghosts. You might ask, what does it matter that people believe these weird things? Skeptics just come along and they're detractors. I remember Shermer on TV debunking very effectively the work of a psychic, but the audience got annoyed. It was clear that Shermer was right, but they were annoyed because he was proving them, the audience, wrong, and also taking their fun away. Many of these beliefs are perhaps a bit quaint. Going to a psychic to tell one's future, perhaps even those that believe that UFOs have landed. Some of it does no harm at all. The biggest difficulty is when an attitude begins to pervade society, a mood of anti-reason. There becomes a lack of groundedness in society, and it leads to unstable political conditions. It also can have its specific ramifications. The Heaven's Gate cult had a mass suicide in 1997 because they believed they were going to join aliens from outer space. Even though I don't address it directly today, there are, of course, larger topics than one can address on one Sunday. I'm on the edge of many religious beliefs, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, true believer beliefs. And these, of course, are dangerous, for they create a political policy, as we see in many Islamic countries, and to a lesser degree in this country. Beliefs, and some of them can be weird, that can become the law for everyone. Why do people believe weird things? Shermer lists four reasons. It feels good, provides immediate gratification, it's simple, and provides some element of seeking control. First, feeling good. The premise that I have is there are other ways of feeling good than believing in weird things, and that's another whole topic in itself, but I don't want you to think I don't believe in feeling good. I do. But people want to believe. because not only does it feel good, it's comforting and it's consoling. In 1996, a Gallup poll indicated that 96% of American adults believed in God. 90% believed in heaven. 76% believed in miracles. And 72% believed in angels. Shermer writes, "Skeptics, atheists, and militant anti-religionists, in their attempt to undermine belief in a higher power, life after death, and divine providence, are butting up against 10,000 years of history and possibly 100,000 years of evolution. Throughout all of recorded history, everywhere on the globe, such beliefs and similar percentages are common. Until a suitable secular substitute surfaces, these figures are unlikely to change significantly." In the same area, Shermer was asked, when he's asked, "What is your position on life after death?" Shermer responds, "I'm all for it, of course." Then he adds, "Doesn't mean I'm going to get it. Who wouldn't want it?" And that's the point. It's a very human response to believe in things that make us feel better. Second, immediate gratification. Most weird beliefs offer immediate gratification. One example is a psychic hotline, where you dial a 900 number and you pay $3.95 a minute. Shermer had a friend who was one of the psychic hotline responders. He said he was trained to keep the callers on the phone. People call for very fundamental reasons: love, health, money, career. The psychic is taught to begin with broad questions and then work towards specifics. He'll make statements like, "You have financial pressures. You're thinking about changing careers." And these statements are true of just about everyone. If not, then the psychic says, "Well, it will then happen in the future." The psychic is only right occasionally, but the callers forget the misses and remember only the hits. More importantly, they want the psychic to be right. The problem is that many people are calling about complex problems that take time to resolve. They require effort, but the psychic provides an immediate response, only a phone call away, with immediate predictions and positive hopes. Three, simplicity. Simple explanations for a complex world. Good and bad things happen to good and bad people, and it's seemingly at random. Philosophic and scientific explanations can be complicated and seem removed. And again, solutions and responses require effort. Superstition and belief and faith in the supernatural provide an easier, simpler path. The fourth, seeking control. There are two dispositions in people, and of course, like all these dispositions, we're all a mix. But those who believe in external control and those who believe in internal control. External control believes are people who believe that circumstances are beyond their control and things just happen to them, and these people tend to live in more anxiety. Internal control, people tend to feel they have some control of their own circumstances, and they can make some things happen. They have more confidence in their own judgment, they are less compliant, and they are skeptical of authority. Skeptics are drawn largely from this group. There are variations of need to have control rituals. Malinkowski studied the Trobian Islanders off the coast of New Guinea and found that when they fished in calm waters in the inner lagoon, they had few rituals. But when they went to the dangerous deep sea fishing waters, they used magic and ritual. Malinkowski concluded, "We find magic whenever the elements of chance and accident and the emotional play between hope and fear have a wide and extensive range. We do not find magic whenever the pursuit is certain, reliable, and well under the control of rational methods and the technological process." Closer to home are baseball players. Hitting a baseball is one of the most difficult things to do in sports. Even the best only hit the ball 3 out of 10 times. And because of this, baseball players have an extensive reliance upon rituals and superstitions before batting. They always do the same thing over and over again, assuming that that leads them to hitting the ball. But what's fascinating is when they are playing out in the field, they use no superstitions and rituals because they succeed almost all the time. Fielding percentages are usually 90 to 95%. And because of this, they have no need of magic and ritual because these things seem under control. Do smart people believe weird things? Weird beliefs. That applies to those ordinary folks. Smart people wouldn't believe those, or do they? Now, we know some smart people, and we know they have weird beliefs, and maybe you do too. And you often ask, how can they believe that? But there is some evidence that intellectual people are slightly less likely to believe in some superstitions and paranormal beliefs. But it's not as clear-cut as you might think. They're less likely to believe in traditional superstitions and more likely to believe in New Age phenomena. There are perhaps two reasons for this. Intelligence is not necessarily a way to avoid weird beliefs. Intelligence is often applied to a specific field, and the same intelligence is not necessarily applied outside a person's main area of expertise. Relatedly, it gets more interesting. Relatedly, education in general and in the training of disciplines and professions is more about information and procedure than critical ways of thinking. Shermer's summary is, smart people believe weird things because they are skilled at defending beliefs they arrived at for non-smart reasons. Stuart Weiss writes, relationship between intelligence and beliefs hold for some of the population. It can be just the opposite in others. He notes that the New Age movement in particular has led to an increased popularity of weird ideas among groups previously thought to be immune to superstition. Those with higher intelligence, higher social economic status, and higher educational levels. As a result, the time-honored view of believers as less intelligent than non-believers may only hold for certain ideas or particular social groups. Now, some people assume women more than men follow weird beliefs. If you go to a psychic medium seminar where people pay hundreds of dollars, most of the attendees are women. Studies show that women do accept more superstitious beliefs and paranormal phenomena. But this leads to the wrong conclusion. If you attend a meeting of creationists, Holocaust revisionists, and UFOologists, there are almost no women, only men. It seems seeing into the future is appealing to women. Tracking down monsters is appealing to men. No difference in the desire to believe, only in what they choose to believe. Confirmation bias is basic to believing in weird things. This is the tendency to seek or interpret evidence favorable to one's existing beliefs and to ignore or reinterpret evidence that is unfavorable. Lawyers purposely select evidence that best suits to defend their client and ignore contradictions. But we all do it. Diana Kuhn showed subjects an audio recording of an actual murder trial. Instead of evaluating the evidence objectively, most subjects composed a story and sorted through the evidence to what best supported their created story. Those most focused on their evidence from a single view were the ones most confident in their decision, as opposed to those at least willing to consider an alternative scenario. Confirmation bias has many variations. A hypochondriac interprets every ache and pain as a health calamity, where most of us just ignore these random body signals. A broader application is prejudice, where we evaluate individuals based on one's expectation about the group. Even scientists, who are trying to be objective, sometimes will overlook evidence to prove their hypothesis. Science, however, has a self-correcting mechanism to the confirmation bias, and that is that other people will check the results or rerun the experiment, and the most significant contribution of science is this form of confirmed knowing. Psychics, fortune tellers, and palm readers tell a client what they expect in the future, offering one-sided events. The occurrence of the event is noticed, while the non-occurrence is not. A balance of openness with reason provides a key to avoid believing in weird things. The key, then, is to clarify beliefs not through necessarily intelligence or education, but a good old Unitarian Universalist principle best described as openness, an openness that needs reason and balance. Shermer's study related to religious beliefs says that he found an openness to experience to be the most significant predictor with higher levels of openness related to lower levels of religiosity. In studies of individual scientists' personalities and their receptivity to fringe ideas like the paranormal, I found that a healthy balance between high consciousness and high openness to experience led to a moderate amount of skepticism. This was most clearly expressed in the careers of paleontologists Stephen Jay Gould and astronomer Carl Sagan. They were nearly off the scale in both conscientiousness and openness to experience, giving them that balance between being open-minded enough to accept the occasional extraordinary claim that turns out to be right, but not so open that one blindly accepts every crazy claim that anyone makes. Sagan, for example, was open to the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, which at the time was considered a moderately heretical idea. But he was too conscientious to accept the even more controversial claim that UFOs and aliens have actually landed on Earth. As the reading earlier in the service stated, the key is to navigate the treacherous straits between know-nothing skepticism and anything-goes credulity by continuously and vigorously applying the methods of science. Stephen Jay Gould adds, only two possible escapes can save us from the organized mayhem of our dark potentialities. The side that has given us crusades, witch hunts, enslavements, and holocausts. Moral decency provides one necessary ingredient, but not nearly enough. The second foundation must come from the rational side of our mentality. For unless we rigorously use human reason both to discover and acknowledge nature's factuality and to follow the logical implications for effective human action that such knowledge entails, we will lose out to the frightening forces of irrationality, romanticism, and uncompromising true belief, and the apparent resulting inevitability of mob action. Reason is not only a large part of our essence, reason is also our potential salvation from the vicious and precipitous mass action that rule by emotionalism almost always seem to entail. Skepticism is the agent of reason against organized irrationalism and is therefore one of the keys to human society and civil decency. Skepticism's bad rap rises from the impression that, however necessary the activity, it can only be regarded as a negative removal of false claims. Not so. Proper debunking is done in the interest of an alternative model of explanation, not as a nihilistic exercise. The alternative model is rationality itself tied to moral decency, the most powerful joint instrument for good that our planet has ever known. In summary, what is believing in weird things? What is weird? Basically, it is the impossible or unlikely validated only by anecdotal and uncollaborated evidence. Such beliefs are prevalent and can range from the innocently playful to the dangerously culturally dominant. Skeptics are not popular. Why do people believe in weird things? Because it feels good, provides immediate gratification, is simple, and provides an attempt at controlling events. do smart people believe weird things? Smart people can believe things because they are skilled at defending beliefs they arrive at for non-smart reasons. Confirmation bias is basic to believing in weird things. The tendency to seek out or interpret evidence favorable to one's existing beliefs and to ignore or reinterpret evidence unfavorable. A balance of openness with reason provides a key to avoid believing in weird things. I conclude with the words of Michael Shermer. Hope springs eternal. Expresses my conviction that humans are by nature a forward-looking species, always seeking greater levels of happiness and satisfaction. Unfortunately, the corollary is that humans are all too often willing to grasp at unrealistic promises of a better life or to believe that a better life can only be attained by clinging to intolerance and ignorance and by lessening the lives of others. And sometimes, by focusing on a life to come, we miss what we have in this life. It is a different source of hope, but it is hope nonetheless. Hope that human intelligence combined with compassion can solve our myriad problems and enhance the quality of each life. Hope that historical progress continues on its march towards greater freedoms and acceptance of all humans. And hope that reason and science, as well as love and empathy, can help us understand our universe, our world, and ourselves. Thank you.